Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And happy Monday afternoon. Go, Pack, go. But, not quite yesterday. Less go and more. Ouch, that was hard to watch. What a heartbreaker against the Cleveland Browns. So it was an ugly game. Folks, that voice that you're hearing is my good friend and yours, frequent contributor to this fine program, Professor Emeritus Howard Schwaber of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Welcome back to the program, Howard.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to get into some detail, Howard, this afternoon with you about where we are in this moment. After Mr. Kirk's assassination, after the memorializing, I think after the rewriting some of the history about what Charlie Kirk stood for, but most specifically in reference to a couple of breaking news items from last week and today. I'm going to describe those in a few moments, but let's take some of the day's breaking news just within the last hour or so, folks. Jimmy Kimmel is back on national TV. He will be returning to his late night slot tomorrow. We'll see how long that lasts. We'll see if these ABC affiliates owned by Nexstar and Tegna and Sinclair actually carry the Jimmy Kimmel Show. Watch this space. Incredibly fascinating moments that we're in. I have heard that there was so many people basically canceling their subscriptions to Disney Plus, Hulu, and the variety of other outlets and content providers that are all owned by the Walt Disney Company, which owns ABC as well, over the weekend, that the system started to crash. You literally couldn't get on to get rid of your membership. I effectively dumped my membership to Hulu, but apparently lots of folks pretty angry about what looked very clearly like either censorship by proxy through the government or just straight up censorship. We're going to discuss more here today. Also today, there is now a new acting U.S. attorney for Virginia. Her name is Lindsey Halligan. She is the former personal lawyer for Donald Trump. And again, sworn in for the interim U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia. Just a point of note, she has no experience as a prosecutor. And she is replacing Eric Siebert, who just late last week resigned under pressure after he indicated that his office was unlikely to bring charges against two of Mr. Trump's perceived political enemies. That was then followed by the DM or direct message that I think was meant to be a direct message, but ended up as a public truth social post from the president to Pam Bondi over the weekend, which read this: Pam, I have reviewed over 30 statements and posts. Footnote here. A president getting information and facts from social media posts? I don't know. Maybe not the best way to operate the U.S. government. But I'll get back to his statement. I have reviewed over 30 statements and posts saying that essentially, same old story as last time. All talk, no action. Nothing is being done. What about Comey, Adam, Shifty, Shift, Letitia? They're all guilty as hell, but nothing is being done. Then we almost put a Democrat-supported U.S. attorney in Virginia with a really bad Republican past, a woke rhino who's never going to do his job. That's why two of the worst Democratic senators pushed him so hard. He even lied to the media and said he quit and that we had no case. No, I fired him, and there is a great case, all caps. And many lawyers and legal pundits say so. Lindsey Halligan is a really good lawyer and likes you a lot. We can't delay any longer. It's killing our reputation and credibility. It's weird. He's telling the attorney general to prosecute people because not doing so is killing our reputation and credibility. No word from the president about, you know, actual crimes committed or, you know, preserving the rule of law or seeking justice in the courts. You know, the things that the Department of Justice is actually supposed to do as the literal embodiment of the people in our courts. He went on, this is how he closed out this Truth Social post. They impeached me twice and indicted me five times over nothing. Justice must be served now, President DJT. Now, I'm going to say that almost certainly that was meant to be a direct message because he signs all the rest of his posts, thank you for your attention to this matter, as if he's writing a memo to the American public at large. This one just signed by the president. So not only does this guy get his information and decide policy based on social media posts, he's apparently communicating via DMs with his cabinet secretaries, like the U.S. Attorney General. This is truly bizarre. A reporter asked Donald Trump about this push, this what looked like maybe was intended to be a private message to Pam Bondi, asked him directly, are you criticizing the Attorney General for not going after your political enemies? And here's what the president had to say.
No, I just want people to act. They have to act. And we want to act fast. You know, they were ruthless and vicious. I was impeached twice. I was indicted five times. It turned out to be a fake deal. And we have to act fast, one way or the other. One way or the other. They're guilty. They're not guilty. We have to act fast. If they're not guilty, that's fine. If they are guilty or if they should be charged, they should be charged. And we have to do it now.
Oh, dearie. Oh, dearie. That's just scary. Just within the last couple of hours, the Supreme Court on its shadow docket has basically completely gutted or indicates its willingness to gut the very idea of independent federal agencies. The Supreme Court has allowed Donald Trump to fire, basically without any cause, the sole remaining Democrat on the Federal Trade Commission. This is the latest in a long string of shadow docket victories for the Trump administration relating to firings of prior administration's appointees to commissions or boards that oversee these, quote, independent agencies. All of this dates back to a very old, nearly 100-year-old precedent from 1935. We'll talk a little bit about that, but it was that precedent that actually also involved the FTC, which said you've got to have cause to fire people. That is what Congress intended. That's what the enabling legislation said. And so, yes, Mr. President, you are constrained by that for-cause requirement if you want to remove commissioners or board members or heads of these independent agencies. The Supreme Court indicating today, again, the three liberal justices dissenting and writing on this, that, nah, he can just fire him for whatever reason he wants. Now, that case in chief on its full merits will be heard by the court, and they will write on it eventually, but not a good sign for what I'm going to call objective, independent expertise being respected in federal government, or the need for agencies to have oversight bodies that are bipartisan and apolitical, especially in these highly technical areas like the governance structure for the Federal Trade Commission. With all of that, there's more news today. We'll get to it when we get to it. But I want to bring Professor Schwaber onto the show. Welcome back, Professor Schwaber. I originally intended to sort of focus our discussion today based on, I don't even know what to call what happened last week, Thursday, Friday, with this special board that helps make recommendations about vaccines. It's called the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices for the Center of CDC. It was a train wreck of a meeting. I spent hours actually listening to the meetings since I have been in many government board meetings in the past and have some familiarity with what those look like when they're well run and clear and folks are getting their voices heard. This was not a paragon of a very well run government board meeting at all. We can get into a bit about that, but here's where I wanted to start, Professor Schwaber. Whether or not someone is a Republican or a Democrat or conservative or liberal, where does our government stand, our federal government stand today when it comes down to what I'm going to just generically describe as objective data analysis and objective science as the watchword and guide for good public policy decision making? Where are we on a scale of 1 to 10? Where are we if 10 is the best and 1 is the worst in terms of a government that really wants to be very careful about whether or not the policies they're enacting are going to accomplish the goals that they say they will, and having the analysis either to support that policy or to analyze whether it's achieving those desired results. How are we doing?
The problem is that to answer that the score you're asking for is falling so fast you need calculus to describe it. Let me say, look, there's so much going on. It's really hard to get one's arms around it. I mean, just the things that you mentioned in this lead-in, there are so many of them. I want to suggest there are two really broad things going on, and then we can look at specifics, starting with the CDC, by all means. One is the politicization of everything.
Yes.
Everything is a partisan political question. There is no other standard. You might remember the famous line during the George W. Bush administration, right? We're no longer trapped in a reality-based paradigm. We've now fully moved outside the truth or fact-based paradigm. Mm-hmm. And it's not, we're going to tell lies, or, oh, we dispute your facts. We just don't care. Facts simply aren't the measure against which we test proposals and policies and actions. The other thing is this all hardball all the time. Everything, every decision, no matter how small or no matter how large, will be decided on the basis of an absolutely ruthless calculation of short-term immediate partisan advantage that helps the president and his base. And that's it. Those two little equations explain everything, although the applications get pretty complicated.
The applications get complicated, and the implications are vast and perhaps generational, meaning what comes next after this sort of, I don't know, regression into every, you know, alternative facts, there's no facts, we'll just make it up. Again, we can disagree about policies or even objectives, but I think all folks of good faith want to know if a politician or a party or their platform is successful. And how do you even measure success? If government is to be accountable to voters, voters have to know to some degree if the policies are working. And if facts don't matter and good objective data analysis and good independent scientific research is irrelevant, then how would a voter pick a candidate?
No, that's exactly right. Look, conservatives and liberals disagree about policies. Each side claims their policy, if implemented, will have the following good results. Voters examine the outcome of those policies in action and the actions of the politicians doing them, hold people accountable, and have elections. Removing information ends accountability and puts us in a space where there's just manipulation, which frankly is exactly where Trump and his people want us to be.
Where there's just manipulation, and that's where Trump and his folks want us to be. We're going to dig in more. We're going to listen to some sound from those ridiculous CDC vaccine panel meetings right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're with Howard Schwaber, Professor Emeritus of UW-Madison, and all of you. We're coming back in just a moment. Join us, 855-75-CIVIC.